Hey everyone, John Hansen, host of Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Today we get an extra 15 minutes tacked on to the end of the show, and it's not just because Stephen Leahy's going to talk forever. It's because we're taking you to Northwestern basketball at 3:15. That'll be your pregame. So we got Stephen Leahy, and then after the 3 o'clock news, I just want to let everyone know, before Northwestern, we've got the story of two guys who are suing Universal Studios because a popular actress they saw in the trailer had gotten cut from the final movie, and they not only want their money back, they want everyone who saw the movie, who they think saw it under false pretenses, to get their money back, too. Stephen Leahy does not represent them, but does a lot of other things. Stephen, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm just great, John. Thanks so much for having me on.
It's always good chatting with you. The last time we were here in this studio, I got to watch an incredible fireworks show in your eyes as you looked over the river during the lights parade, and I missed the whole thing.
That was quite an event. And again, I've been in the city a long time. I never saw the fireworks right here on Michigan Avenue.
Yeah, I never seen you speechless ever. And even you couldn't finish complete thoughts because you were distracted by grand finales happening on Michigan Avenue. It was cool.
It really was cool.
Yeah,
really
I missed the whole thing. I was facing the wrong direction.
Hey, you got a job.
Yeah, WGNTaxMan.com. I also know you're fired up because you reached out to us and said, I need to let people know about what's happening. New rule, Venmo, cash, $600. Explain what it is and what people are wrong about.
Okay, well, first we have to go back and think about how this all evolved. Mm-hmm. Okay, in 2011, in Obamacare, they passed a 1099 rule, reporting rule, very similar to this, that anytime any business did anything, goods or service, more than $600, that you had to provide a 1099 to that service. Mm-hmm. Well, the reporting requirements and the paperwork was just too much.
Okay.
And almost immediately, it was repealed.
Really?
And, yeah, because people were up in arms about it. Said, we can't do this. This is way too much paperwork.
Like the threshold of 600 was just too low to do
this. Yeah, and it's like everybody has to do it. Just put too much burden on everybody. And again, almost immediately, it was repealed.
Okay.
And so they've been trying to get this. That was part of the Obamacare in order to offset some of the costs of Obamacare.
So they wanted to generate more tax revenue.
Correct.
By saying, okay, if you made $700, we're going to tax you on that $100 that you made over the
No. Actually, it would tax the whole $700.
Whole thing.
So that was just a reporting requirement.
Ah, okay.
So the reporting, if you did more than $600, so if I'm running a business and I have any kind of vendor that I pay more than $600 in a year, I'd have to send them a 1099.
Okay.
Well, any business.
That's right? A lot.
Yeah, $600
ain't that much.
No, it's almost everybody you're doing,
yes.
Right? You're going to have to do, I would assume that means my electric company, that means everybody,
mm-hmm.
Right? And I had to send them $600. I had to send them. So just think about the reporting requirements there. Mm-hmm. And again, they backed off that because everybody was up in arms about it. Kind of what happened, and again, going on now, kind of what happened with the banking reporting, right? That this was just in the Build Back Better, the banking reporting. And it was, they went to $600 or more in your bank account that they were going to report it to the IRS and everybody was going to get a form or the IRS was going to get reported what was in there. Well, people had one up in arms about this.
Yeah, and so it didn't pass. That wasn't in Build Back Better.
It was still in Build Back. You know, that's a good
thing.
Either
way, it hasn't been passed yet.
That's correct. It has not been passed. They did change it to $10,000,
right,
which to me is the same thing. You know, I think most people who have a checking account or a bank account are going to put more than $10,000.
Either way, we'll bring you back when Build Back Better passes and we can complain about that.
Well, but my point is that people objected.
Yes.
And that's why it got, and that's why it was taken out of the bill.
Same thing with people that were upset that, you know, a lot of the cryptocurrency stuff was going on. People got up in arms. They fixed it. The same thing that people were really upset when there was a proposal that they were going to tax your stock gains, even if they were unrealized.
Correct.
And then people got up in arms, and that lasted 2 days.
And this is all about trying to raise money.
And
so we have to, and we have to keep this in mind when we start talking about this new one.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, this passed last March in the American Rescue Plan.
Okay, so this is the one we're talking about.
Yes,
now.
This is the Cash App reporting. So Venmo, Zelle, and people say, well, Zelle's different. No, Zelle's part of the reporting requirement. PayPal, all of these outfits, they now have to report any money that goes in that you receive more than $600.
Accumulated over a year or in a one-time payment?
Over the year.
And it's up to them to report it, or it's up to me to report
it? No, it's up to them to report it. So Cash App, Zelle, or Venmo, or
whatever,
have to tell the IRS, this is how much money went through this account.
Okay, but I don't use it for business. I use it. My buddy likes to always book our golf foursome because he gets points, and we're like, fine, you can get your points on your credit card, and I'll Venmo you each golf round. We golf a lot. So I guarantee I have sent him more than $600 after little Saturday golf outings. Are you telling me that the IRS is going to report that I paid my buddy for golfing?
Well, see, this is where the conflict comes in.
Okay.
And this is what I think is the misreporting. There is something in the statute that says it's only for goods and services. And so a lot of the reporting that goes on now is, well, it's only for goods and services. So if you're doing it for this you're not going to get a 1099K.
Okay.
But here's what the truth is, in my opinion. And I deal with the IRS every day. What they're going to do is, and that's why I want to do the history of this, because we have to look and mm-hmm. see, well, why are they doing this, right? They're trying to raise more money.
Some revenue, right.
And so the way to do that is to catch people who are not reporting income.
Right.
But if I can simply say, well, this is a friends or family, so this isn't been goods or services. If I could just simply say that and avoid it.
Everyone's going to say it, right.
Everybody will do that. And what would be the purpose of the rule?
Mm-hmm.
And so so there's going to be these people who are going to get the 1099 this time next year, and they're not going to know what to do with it.
Interesting. So you think that, sure, they may not go after everybody, and they may get these $600 reports, and they're not going to go up, but there will be some. And then they're not going to know what to do when they get it.
I think it's a lot more than people think.
Okay.
Because again, think of if you're PayPal or if you're Venmo, which is the same thing, right?
Right.
But if you're that company, are you more afraid of the people or the IRS?
Right? Yeah, the IRS.
So if the IRS had come after me as a company for not reporting, and there are penalties for not reporting when you're supposed to, what are you going to do as the company? Well, you're going to err on the side of sending it out.
Right. So here's my question. Okay, people say it's just for goods and services. Mm-hmm. So what does that put the onus on the company to cull through our data to make that determination? Or are they going to send everything over $600 to the IRS and let the IRS determine what is or isn't?
That's a very good question. And I think it wouldn't be the IRS determining, it'd be you determining. Because what's going to happen, and this is called a correspondence audit, right? If you get a 1099 and you don't include it on your tax return,
mm-hmm.
right? The IRS knows that you got that 1099.
Right.
And then they do a comparison with the computer. And
right.
It says, hey, they sent us a 1099, but you didn't put it on your tax return. So why is that? And this is what you said on your tax return, and this is what we found.
Okay. So then you're going to get audited, or you're going to get looked at.
Correspondence.
So here's what you envision happening. Let's use my example just as an example here. Okay, I've paid my buddy over $600 over the course of a year for golf. There's probably listeners that say, you golf too much. Is your score getting better? It's not. I do golf too much. What's it to you? That's what I like to do. I never buy new clothes. I like to golf. Stop judging me for my golfing. Okay.
No golfer will judge you for that. Everybody will say,
everyone else will.
That it makes sense. That makes perfect sense.
Everyone else will. I've lost maybe two strokes, and I've golfed every weekend for 3 years. Anyways, here's the point. I've given this guy over $600 because he pays for my tee time. I pay him back. So what you're saying is, because of this rule, Venmo will err on the side of caution. They'll say, hey, look, John paid Mike more than $600. I'm going to send it to the IRS. The IRS may not give it to everyone, but they're going to say, okay, that's a 1099. I'm sending it to my buddy Mike.
That's correct.
Because that was income paid to him. And now Mike will say, well, this is not income. I'm not going to include it on my tax returns. And that's where the money meets the road, because then the IRS is going to go, boom.
Exactly, because they're going to say, and they're going to get you a correspondence audit, and they're going to say, tell us why it's wrong. Now, again, you might not have to pay taxes
on it,
but you're going to have to account for it.
Do they, if they do a correspondence audit, looking at that, can they look at everything else?
Well, they do. Well, actually, what will happen is they'll just put those two on there. So it won't look at everything else.
Okay, so it doesn't open the floodgates for them to give them a reason to poke at everything.
That's right.
Because,
again, it's all electronic. And this is all done really automatically.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody at the IRS even looks at it. It's just like, here, we have a 1099 in the system, and you don't have it on your tax return. Why?
Yeah.
That's what happens. So that happens now when people have a 1099 for any reason. What if I get a 1099 from my broker, or get a 1099 from the cryptocurrency, which I've seen a lot of, or I get a 1099 what they used to be called miscellaneous, but now it's called a non-employee compensation, NEC.
Right.
So they have a lot of 1099s now, and I see it all the time where people don't put it on. Maybe they didn't get it. in the mail. And so they don't include it. So a lot of what they call 1099Cs, which is cancellation of debt. All of this stuff, I see it over and over again, and they get this correspondence audit. And a lot of times, again, people, this is a very large percentage of people never address it.
Yeah.
And so then the IRS just says, well, you owe more taxes. Pay. That's the way it works.
So if you don't do anything, they'll just be like, pay us.
Pay us.
You have to prove it.
That's right.
The onus is on you.
Absolutely.
To prove that's not income.
Absolutely.
So would your recommendation be to people that do use these services that may, for legitimate goods and services, not paying people for work, because, you know, that should be taxed. I mean,
it is taxed.
It is taxed. Yeah. Let's say it is for legitimate things. Do you recommend that they keep all the paperwork for whatever they paid and the services rendered, so that if there ever is a question, you can go, no, I paid for, look at this tea time. It was $57. Look, I got $57 from John.
Exactly.
And here's this next one. Is that what people should do?
Yeah, you got. But that's always, now, the people that I've always found that kept the best records, those that have been audited before. Right? If you've never been audited, you're like, well, I've heard that you're supposed to keep good records. But people who've been audited say, well, it comes out to it. Because a lot of times you say, well, it's in my bank statements. And a lot of times that won't do it.
It doesn't, because it doesn't show anything. There's no line item. There's no description.
Exactly. And so you need a receipt.
Right.
And so, but again, in this instance, he might not have a receipt.
No.
For the tea time, he would.
Yes.
But does that mean that you gave him the money for that tea time?
Yeah.
That's up in the air. So,
because we bet a couple bucks too, so sometimes I Venmo over a little bit more because I was so bad that day. I was the one, bingo, bongo, boom, well, whatever the name of that game is that we play golfing that I still lose at, and I owe him an extra $10. That's not going to line up. I'm really messing him up. He's going to pay taxes.
Again, this is where it comes in. And
poor Mike.
And I know I keep reading all these stories that keep saying, no, it's only for goods and services. But again, if it was so easy to cheat the IRS by just saying, oh, this wasn't a good or a service. So if I'm cutting someone's hair every week.
Right.
You know, I cut hair every week and I do a couple on Saturday.
Yeah.
And they Venmo me. If it was so easy for me to just say I'm friends and family.
Right.
And then it won't be reported to the IRS. But that's exactly what they're trying to catch.
Well, that's also like the nebulousness of, oh, it's only for goods and services. Well, where in the line? It's like catching Asian carp, right? We've got all these lines up the river that get, hopefully, to keep the carp out of Lake Michigan. Okay, if you say it's only for goods and services, which fence is stopping them from saying that, right? Because if it's not Venmo or PayPal, they're just going to send it over. If it's not the IRS, like, who's making that determination? Ultimately, it's going to come to you, the final barrier.
That's right.
I can't believe I worked Asian carp into that. Don't know if it made sense, but I tried
sense
something.
To me.
There you go. By the way, we did get a text from the 708. This reporting rule will forever change how people pay out fantasy football leagues.
Absolutely true. Absolutely.
That's
income. It's taxable.
It's gambling income.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yes.
We got to take
it. I never thought of that, but that's a good one.
See, some of our listeners are smart.
That's a good one.
They know what they're worried about. We got to take this break. We're well overdue. 312-981-7200. If you got any other questions for Stephen, people want to reach you before, if they're getting out of the car or something, how should they do it?
Call me, 312-664-6649, or go to WGNTaxMan.com.
More after this on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Stephen Leahy and I solving the world's problems during that commercial break. Me and you should debate, do public policy debates on taxes and social spending. We'd go for hours.
I'm there, John.
But see, we have different viewpoints, but we can agree, you know, we can agree to disagree.
Exactly.
Right?
And that's what makes America great.
It is. Just let's stay civilized, people. Let's go have a beer afterwards. Stephen Leahy, WGN Taxman.com.
That I will subscribe to.
Well, let's make it a bourbon, and I'm definitely in.
I'm an old-style guy myself.
I don't mind to put you on the spot here, Stephen. We did get a question from the 630. If you don't know the answer, that's fine. We can try, and you'll give us another answer later time. Morning Paper says the IRS wants to scan your face, and you must verify your identity to confirm that you can look at your records. Have you heard anything about this?
Absolutely.
What is this?
Okay, this just came out, facial recognition. They're using this ID.me company.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... So I don't want to say everything's nefarious, okay?
Okay.
But the IRS has been pushing people. One reason why they don't, in my opinion, one reason why they don't answer your phone call, because they want to push you online.
Right.
Right? So they want you to go online. All that information's there.
Figure it out.
So now that they got everybody going online, they're saying, coming in the summertime, You have to have a account with this ID.me, mm-hmm. and that includes giving them a license, a government issued you license,
okay.
Your credit report, and facial recognition
to confirm it's you.
That's correct, and then you can get on the system. And
does that bother you?
It does bother me, and it bothers a lot of people in Illinois, because I don't know if you know this, but there's a rule in Illinois that companies can't do that.
That's true.
You know, and so will the federal government be able to get around that rule? Probably,
yeah.
But it is a third party, and that's what...
That is weird. What are they doing with that data? There needs to be some security. Because let's be honest, though. We get facial recognition for our phones.
It is, but I don't know if they share that. I had the same thing with...
Right.
I agree with you. And I use the facial recognition on my phone.
Security is important.
It is important.
So it's got to be a fine line. We got to make sure that this middle company legitimately is not doing anything, which we never know.
But, you know, this biometric stuff now gets... You start going down that road and all you... And let's face it, the IRS gives up a lot of information every year, right?
Right.
Now, so not only are they going to get your tax information, the most sensitive information out there, outside of your biometric information.
Right.
And now all of a sudden. And so now someone's got your, you know, can put their face recognition in your with your information, and now they are you.
Right.
And this ID.me is going to be everywhere.
Right. Wasn't that Tom Cruise movie, Face Off, where they swapped faces? We're going to be seeing that left right now. I'm just kidding. I don't know. For me, I'm like, I like the security of it, and like, I like that no one can grab my phone and look at it, and they can get into it.
I know.
But it's tough. It's a weird new world for people.
It is
interesting, the things that we choose to care about, though, right? Like, we would be up in arms about the IRS having our information, yet we have no problem telling Facebook, Twitter, everything, and we agree to so much.
I agree.
I think it's because it's like there is this natural distrust of government. And we have a natural trust of what's in our hands, which isn't right.
Well, no, it is right, because that's the whole purpose of our form of government.
Is
to limit the power of the government. And so if we keep giving the government all this power, even though there is no point of us having our constitution,
okay?
And the limited government. And we have a limited government
right.
for a purpose.
Yeah, it's just interesting that we're okay giving private companies so much.
Well, maybe we shouldn't be comfortable there. And again, that comes
true.
That comes to Illinois, where they started doing this face recognition, and they passed a law some years ago in mm-hmm. Illinois that they can't do that without your permission.
Six Real wants to know, if I don't have a camera on my phone, I can't do it on my laptop or desktop. Yeah, this leaves some people behind, doesn't it? There's got to be another way to do it via the paper or something.
Well, if you're trying to get online to their system, irs.gov, mm-hmm. that means you have probably a laptop or some sort of camera somewhere that you could take a picture.
They've got to have some alternative for folks that aren't quite up on the technology. We'll tell you what, I'll look into that a little bit, and I'll have a little bit to report next week. Stephen, we're out of time. How did this happen?
I don't know, but I'm glad someone came up with that question, because that's a very good question.
Right, that put us on odds against each other again. Now we have to have two bourbons to settle it.
We're still on the same page. We're just...
I love it. WGNTaxman.com. What number can they call, Stephen?
312-664-6649.
Love you, man. We'll talk soon, okay?
Thanks so much, John.
Absolutely. News next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.